This is Irene Latham reading for you a poem by Tony Hoagland that appears in the August 2015 issue of The Sun. It's called Message to a Former Friend. Message to a Former Friend. I just wanted to write and say, in case you are hit tomorrow by a truck, or swept from the beach by a freak wave, or in case your ex-wife decides to take her own life right after taking yours, or in case you go to the doctor who finds a lump in your neck and you are carried swiftly out onto the terrible waters of clinics and infusions and I never see you again, I just wanted to say, bon voyage, my friend, my dear and former friend. I just wanted to confess how much you meant to me back then, before I learned to hold my love in check, thanks to my tutorial with you. Thank God I got those holes sealed shut through which every passerby could see my neediness. And thank God I banished you into that frozen part of me where nothing moves or breathes. And yet it's funny, isn't it? Our weakness can never be eliminated. Neediness is part of what we are. Living is a kind of wound. A wound is a kind of opening. And even love that disappeared mysteriously comes back, like water bubbling up from underground, cleansed from its long journey in the dark. Right in the open, there it is, waiting for someone to arrive and kneel and drink from it.
Here's a poem for today by Tony Hoagland entitled Fetch. Who knew that the sweetest pleasure of my 58th year would turn out to be my friendship with the dog, that his trembling, bow-legged bliss at seeing me stand there with the leash would give me a feeling I had sought throughout my life. Now I understand those old ladies walking their chihuahuas in the dusk, plastic bag wrapped around one hand, content with a companionship that, whatever else you think of it, is totally reliable. And in the evening at cocktail hour, I think tenderly of them in all of those apartments on the 14th floor, holding out a little hot dog on a toothpick to bestow a luxury on a friend who knows more about uncomplicated pleasure than any famous lobbyist for the mortal condition. These barricades and bulwarks against human loneliness, they used to fill me with disdain, but that was before I found out my metaphysical needs could be so easily met by the wet gaze of a brown and white retriever with a slight infection of the outer ear and a tail like a windshield wiper. I did not guess that love would be returned to me as simply as a stick returned when it was thrown again and again and again. In fact, I still don't exactly comprehend. What could that possibly have to teach me about being human?
The healing profession. The nurses and orderlies from the hospital come into the coffee shop in their blue and green scrubs, with their ID cards on cords around their necks. They stand in line for their lattes and iced coffee, checking their phones, faces bathed in a light cocktail of piano music and air conditioning. I thought I was destined to spend all my days trying to get women to take off their clothes, or to win an award for the underachievement of half-formulated goals. But it turns out my vocation was to see just a few scenes that are presented to me. The intern whose stethoscope is slung like a necktie over her left shoulder. The surgical aide who hides her bad teeth with one hand. There is an air that quietly adheres to them, which comes from the ethical work of laying hands on the distressed. So simply to watch them is touching. Simply to observe their flat-soled, practical shoes and casual, resilient mouths, making the shapes of M and O for mocha, K for cardiomyopathy. It is as if, having squandered one life, I was erased and given another, in which I am allowed to be the green starched cuff on the orderly's uniform, tight on his light brown wrist, and how his long, competent fingers hold the paper cup of Brazilian decaf, into which a lot of milk and zero-calorie sugar has been stirred.